Welcome again to the book of Genesis and to the marvelous character of Joseph, eldest son of Rachel and the most beloved of his father Israel. We find that he had wonderful dreams, wonderful promises from God, that his brethren would bow down, that he, even his father, would come and make obeisance towards him. And at 17 he was, as we have already said, he was put in a pit, sold into Egypt, and then falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and put into the prison. Well, we are going to look now at this prison experience of Joseph. Even in the prison, the Lord was with him, and the Lord was working deeply in his heart. And in that prison, there were two men, the butler and the baker of the king, or Pharaoh. He was wroth with them both, put them into prison, and then these two men had dreams. They were sad, and Joseph, who was now given the responsibility of overseeing the other prisoners in this place, said to them, "What is wrong?" And they explained, "We have had dreams, but nobody to interpret them." Well, the interpretation was given by Joseph, and in effect he said in 3 days the butler would be restored to his former position, but the baker would be hung. Well, he said to the butler, "When you are restored to Pharaoh, remember me. Speak to Pharaoh concerning me, because I'm in this prison and yet I'm innocent." Well, the butler was restored, the baker was hung, but the butler forgot. And for 2 years more, long years, Joseph remained in this prison. Until in chapter 41, we find that Pharaoh is given a dream by God. And how God, you see, is orchestrating everything. And in this dream, he sees, essentially, 7 well-favored cattle, and afterwards 7 lean cattle, that come up and eat up these 7 fat cattle. Then he has a second dream. And in this second dream, he sees 7 full years, or ears, sorry, of corn. Oh, so fat, so full of protein. And then he sees 7 lean ears which devour the 7 full ears of corn. Well, Pharaoh wakes from these dreams and seeks his magicians, but nobody can give the interpretation, because a dream is from God, and God has reserved the interpretation for Joseph, for his purpose. Then the butler remembers, and he says to Pharaoh, "I was in prison, I had a dream, and there is a man there called Joseph who gave me the interpretation." And it came to pass. Pharaoh gave a commandment that immediately Joseph was to be brought before him. Well, the Egyptians are clean shaven, the Hebrews are not, and so Joseph had the beard, but he had to shave it off and change his clothing, wash quickly, and was with speed brought into the presence of Pharaoh. There, Joseph said, "The interpretation is not of me, but of God." But he went on to say this, that the two dreams are one. And what God is showing you is this, that there are going to be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 lean years, years of famine. And then he gives counsel to Pharaoh to know what to do. He said, in these 7 years of plenty, he said, build storehouses in all the cities in Egypt. Bring in the grain, handfuls of it. Bring it in. And then he said, when the 7 years of famine come, the grain can then be sold. Well, those 7 full years were really wonderful years, and the result was that indeed the storehouses were bulging with grain. But then when the famine came, all countries came to buy corn into Egypt because the famine was so great. Now we're told in Psalms that it was God who called for this famine for his own purposes. And so this famine extended up into the land of promise. And Israel, the patriarch, said to his sons, why are we going to permit ourselves to die, when he said there's food in Egypt? And so he sent his sons down into Egypt to buy food. Well, they came down, and of course they came into the presence of Joseph, who recognized them. And he questioned them, and he accused them of being spies, knowing full well they were not. But he was going to test them to see whether or not they were worthy to, if I could say this, to be preserved. Now, it's an interesting thing what he did. He took Simeon, put him in prison, and said, you know, you cannot come back to buy grain unless you bring your younger brother, which was his own blood brother, Benjamin. They had admitted, you see, who they were. Their father was in the land of promise, and they had yet a younger son, Benjamin. So he said, right, to prove it, I'll keep Simeon, see, and you go back, and when you come back again, you must bring Benjamin. Well, why did he choose Simeon? Well, you see, when he was put into the pit, it was very interesting. See, Reuben said, do him no harm. Reuben went away, and when he came back, Joseph had gone. Reuben had intended to protect him from the other brethren. But the result was that in his absence they had sold him to the Ishmaelites. But the one who should have protected him was the second-born, Simeon, who failed, so he was put in prison. It's interesting, all these truths, isn't it? Well, now comes chapter 43, and again they have consumed all their food. And so again Israel said, well, you must go down. And they said, the man said that we could not buy unless we brought Benjamin down. And so with great reluctance, Israel said, well, Joseph, I don't want to lose Benjamin. I mean, the son of his favorite wife, Rachel. But Judah said, I will give my life for Benjamin. And so, with great reluctance, Israel gives permission, and they go down. And in chapter 44, we have what we might term the testing of Judah. Because Joseph is going to test his brethren. And he permits them to buy corn. And he releases Simeon. And they go on. But he said to his servant, put my personal silver cup in the sack of Benjamin. And so they go off very happy. And then he said, go and bring them back, find that cup, and bring back that man. Well, I gallop after the 11 brothers, and they search their sacks. They find the silver cup in Benjamin's sack, and they said, we just want to take Benjamin. No, they said, we'll all come back. And so they all came back to Joseph. And then Joseph listens to Judah, who offers his life in the place of Benjamin. And it's more than Joseph can indeed hold up to. He sends everybody else out, and then he reveals who he is to his brothers. He said, "I am Joseph." Now, previous to this, when they saw all the problems that were besetting them, they said, "It is because of what we did to our brother Joseph." And so there in their heart, they knew that what they were experiencing in Egypt was the result of their sin to their younger brother, Joseph. Well, can you imagine it? When the Lord of Egypt, Joseph, says to them, "I am your brother Joseph." Can you imagine how they felt? They asked forgiveness, and he said to them, "You know, there are 2 years of famine, but there are still 5 more years left." And so he said, "I want you to bring our father back down with you." And he said, "I will go and meet you at the frontier, and I will provide for you in the land." Well, Pharaoh heard about the fact that indeed the brothers of Joseph, and Joseph was really a father to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was younger than Joseph, and Joseph ran the whole country for him. And so Pharaoh was very reminiscent to Joseph for actually saving the whole nation because of the interpretation of these dreams, providing food when there normally would not have been food in the time of famine. And so Pharaoh, you know, was fairly warm towards Joseph. And when he heard that the brothers were there, he gave commandment that the land of Goshen, the best section in the nation of Egypt, was to be put at the disposal of the brothers, and he encouraged that the father come down too. Well, in Genesis 46, there the Lord meets Jacob, or Israel, shall we say, in a dream, and promises him that he shall see Joseph, and that he will look after him. He's not to fear to go down to the land of Egypt. And so he goes down. And there they have all the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh says, "If you've got any men well disposed, let them rule over my cattle." And Jacob comes into, or Israel comes into Pharaoh, and he blesses Pharaoh. And that's very significant, because we might say this, that Joseph, representing the Lord, ruled in the land of Egypt for many, many years. And the land of Egypt was mightily blessed by God. We have to make a differentiation between Egypt and the other countries, because God speaks in Isaiah 19, that in the last days, that is the millennial reign of Christ upon earth, there will be a road from Assyria down through Israel, down into Egypt. And of Egypt, he will say, "Egypt, the work of my hands." And, you know, when I first went to Egypt to minister there in a seminar, I wondered what I was going to say as an introduction.
God gave me that thought. Egypt, the work of my hands. Well, there we are. So Egypt mightily blessed. And now he's got Israel and all the sons, their wives, down in the land of Egypt. And there they prosper. And there they're going to remain for 430 years from the time that Abraham first went into Egypt. And the purpose behind that is this, that there's going to arise a man by the name of Moses who is going to lead them up out of the land of Egypt. And the whole purpose is in that journey to show us God's plan and purpose for our lives. And so that is the reason that all this has been given, that God brings the Holy Family down into Egypt for his plans and purposes in future generations. Now then, I want to look at Genesis 48, where it's a time for Israel to die, and he blesses the sons of Joseph. Ephraim the younger will be doubly fruitful. Manasseh also will be blessed. And Joseph will receive the double portion. Now then, in Genesis 49, we are going to see the blessings and the prophetic mantle upon the tribes of Israel. And it reveals their character. And Reuben, unstable as water, going up to the couch of his father and committing incest. Well, Reuben, as unstable as water. May God grant that we're not like that. Simeon and Levi, instruments of cruelty. Oh, we don't want that in our life. But Judah, thy brethren shall praise thee. You will have the neck of your enemies, and you will have your garments, as it were, drenched with wine. And wine is a type of joy. And so Judah is going to be later on the ruler of the nation of Israel. And obviously, from Judah came David and the Lord Jesus Christ. And of Judah, it was spoken of that they would have the scepter. And so Judah would be the means of bringing great joy to the nations through Jesus Christ. Zebulun was to be a haven. How beautiful to be a haven, a shelter for those in need. Then Issachar was to be the burden bearer, a servant. And some are called to bear the burdens of others. Certainly that was the case of Issachar. Remember Dan, born out of envy through Bilhah, the maid of Rachel. But it says he shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. He will be like the others, but he'll be a serpent by the way, bringing down the horsemen. What a terrible thing. A betrayer amongst the tribes of Israel. Gad, and this is a very interesting prophecy. A troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Oh, what a glorious promise that we can at times be overcome by the enemy, but oh, praise God. Look at this glorious promise. In the end, we shall overcome. And then Naphtali, a hind let loose, giveth goodly words. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful picture of a teacher of righteousness, of a counselor, of a mother in Israel, a father in Israel, who when people are in distress, you know, we come to them and they give us goodly words, words of comfort. Oh, to be like a Naphtali. Well, then we have Joseph. Joseph, that great man of God, look what it said of him. He will be a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches goeth over the wall. You know, constantly he will be receiving from God, and he'll bring forth the fullness and maturity of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. May God cause us to be a fruitful bough. Well, the archers shot at him, hated him, but he abode in strength. And how wonderful it is to have that strength of God that enables us to overcome our enemies. And he was separated from his brethren. And sometimes, you know, even in the church, we are separated. But the separated brethren, you know, often come out on top. One thing else about Joseph, those two sons of his, Manasseh and Ephraim. And of Manasseh it means, God hath caused me to forget all the sorrow of my father's house, all the sorrow of prison, all the sorrow of betrayal. God caused Joseph to forget. And you know, it's so wonderful when we are betrayed, or when we are evil spoken of, or when people do things against us hurtfully, we can ask for our Manasseh and we can forget. And you know, when you forget, it's so easy to forgive. I've had people say, come to me, will you forgive me for what I've done for you? And I say, what did you do? They say, you don't remember. I said, no, I don't remember. And they explain. I said, I have forgotten. I said, of course I forgive you. So remember those blessings, Manasseh. And the result is a second son, Ephraim, means doubly fruitful. Doubly fruitful. Doubly fruitful. You know, when we forget and forgive the injustices of others, then in that place we become doubly fruitful. Well, Benjamin is not so good. Benjamin is ravenous as a wolf. You remember the two Sauls that were of the tribe of Benjamin? King Saul, certainly very wolf-like. But what about the Apostle Paul, who first was called Saul? He was terrible. The way that he persecuted the Christians. Well, he had his name changed. And I want to encourage you to believe for God to give you a change of name. You know, that's a promise to the overcomer. You know, Israel had a change of name. Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul. He had a change of name. And why not you? It's a promise in the book of Revelation. To him that overcometh will I give a change of name. Remember, much afraid became grace and glory. Oh, God wants to change your name, change your character, make it all glorious in his sight. Well, we come now to the last chapter of the book of Genesis. Joseph, that great man, next to Pharaoh. Now, in chapter 50, we have the burial of Israel, and he wants to be buried in the land of his inheritance, next to Abraham and Isaac his father. And they have this wonderful funeral service, taking him up and burying him there. But now the brothers are afraid. They say, well, our father is dead. Now Joseph is going to take vengeance upon us. So they send a messenger to Joseph. And they said, our father, before he died, had a message for you. And it was that you would forgive us. forgive your brethren. Well, Joseph had already had his Manasseh. His heart was filled with compassion. His heart was filled with forgiveness. And he went even further than to promise them forgiveness. He said, I will care for you. I will care for you. I will care for you. Isn't that such a wonderful aspect of the character of a man of God? Not only does he forget those who have so despitefully used him, but in effect, he turns around and becomes, as it were, their father and their provider. And so, as we come to a close in our study in the book of Genesis, may I encourage you to read it through often. It gives you great insights into the ways of God. It shows us where we come from. It shows us where we're going. It shows us how we can have intimate fellowship with God and how we can receive promises like these old patriarchs of old. Promises perhaps in times of great despair. But as we trust God and as we, like Joseph, endure difficulties until the word of the Lord comes, it tries us. But oh, after being tried, we come forth to our Rehoboth, our place of great fruitfulness. And that's what I desire and God desires for each one of you. May the Lord richly bless you. Amen.
This series has been presented by Zion Fellowship of Waverly, New York. The teaching you just heard from Dr. Bailey is based on his book, Genesis, the Book of Beginnings. We at Zion Chapel strongly encourage and endorse church attendance. Perhaps you appreciate the ministry of Dr. Bailey and would like to attend one of our services. Or perhaps you have been looking for a church. Why not join us this morning at 11 o'clock for our Sunday morning service? Zion Chapel is located above O'Brien's Hotel and Restaurant in Waverly, New York. The other service times are posted on your screen. A warm welcome awaits you. We trust today's message has been a blessing to you. Have a wonderful week in the Lord. We look forward to meeting with you next week at the same time. God bless you.